This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 258. Gil Alexander, another week from San Francisco. Kelly Bidlin back at the mothership at Circa Studios, or VSiN Studios at Circa Resort Casino there in Las Vegas. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are we doing? How was a beautiful 4th of July in San Francisco?
Well, I'm going to do this with my finger because I can never remember notes this way.
Yeah.
You see this right over my left shoulder right here?
Uh-huh.
So we have this thing called the fog. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this kind of weather pattern. Our 4th of July 250th celebration was a complete bust because as I mentioned on Friday, it's potluck. Some years it's beautiful. Other years, all we see is puffed colors, like clouds of color. So, complete bust. All these people came down to the marina. They all got stuck in traffic. They all had to leave. We barely saw any fireworks whatsoever.
Yeah, man. Well, you had glowing clouds. That's nice.
But happy 4th, everybody. Happy 250.
Right.
What a weekend. What a weekend of sports. World Cup. It is Team USA Day. Team USA's round of 16 game against Belgium tonight. Obviously, you have the battle for the Iberian Peninsula, Portugal versus Spain here at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Preceding that, we got to talk about the two games yesterday. Norway advances, England advances in just dramatic fashion. Both we'll get into that. Obviously, we have our regular guest, Greg Peterson, all of his baseball plays today. Final week before the All-Star break. Major League Baseball looking good. Greg's got dating thoughts as well. His dating life, Kelly, has taken a turn. He texted me on Saturday. He's like, we got to talk about this on Monday. Excited?
All right, yes. Let's go. Yes.
No, I don't know. You don't sound excited.
I am excited. What are you talking about, man? I did not know that he texted you on Saturday night. That is a much better addition to the story than what I knew about.
He texted me. He sent me exclusive pictures, which I cannot share. It's just fantastic. Wes Reynolds, Adam Burke a little later on the show, also with baseball, as well as Adam Burke's Guardians, refuse to go below 500 still. Wimbledon, before we get into soccer, I have three plays on the overnight. We hit on Elise Mertens already this morning. Right now, Alex Ayala is in a dogfight with Jasmine Paolini. That one is Ayala is down a set. We are on Ayala in that one. The only one I have left, and I don't know when it's going to start because they're playing a men's match on court one right now, but I do have Linda Noskova as a slight dog over Madison Keys a little later on. So, Wimbledon, by the way, I had a great grass court season going. Wimbledon, I'm down a unit 1.49 units for the tournament. Or as the incels on Twitter call it, Kelly, he's cleaning out everybody. He's down 50 units or something, whatever their math is.
Get it together, so Alexander. Jeez. Down 1.5 units. How dare you?
It's pretty bad, man.
Plenty of time to make it up. We got a long week to go at Wimbledon.
We do. Plenty of time to make that up. To soccer, because let us begin there. Let's talk about the two games. We'll get into it because Paul Carr is going to join us. I saved maybe the best for last. Paul Carr is going to join us in a little less than a half an hour. More than anything, I don't know about more than anything, but we're certainly going to talk about this Flo Balogun drama. And in case you missed it this morning, this is continuing. So, of course, American striker Flo Balogun, he got the red card, stepped on an opponent's ankle, accidentally against Bosnia and Herzegovina in the USA's 2-0 win, I should say. He gets the red card, which means he's supposed to be out for this game against Belgium. FIFA's disciplinary committee ultimately suspends the automatic one-match ban under Article 27, so meaning he would be eligible to play tonight. Trump got involved. I think Howard Lutnick might have gotten involved. This has caused a huge outcry internationally. Well, FIFA granted Belgium the right to appeal this morning, and Belgium is taking them up on that. So can't wait to have Paul on because I want to get his take on all of this,
yeah,
including should this red card have been suspended by FIFA in the first place? In other words, shouldn't the ban have stood? We'll get into that.
It's so clunky. It's so, it's just, well, what I feel, Gil, is that FIFA in the rules, in the sliding scales here is screwing with everybody, every American that has to do media over this. I'll tell you that much, because we saw the red card and then I read and was told that the red card could not be, what are we, suspending the red card? Also, like the language that they use.
Yes, so
I was
right.
told the red Strange. Card could not be overturned, and then it is being overturned. And then how nice of you, FIFA, to grant the appeal process to Belgium the day of the game. They do play later today, right, Gil? Like, we're going to grant you the right to appeal. I think they're going to take you up on that. I think they are going to take you up on that appeal process. But with how clunky this all sounds, am I really expected to have a full process done before the game? Because it took you a couple days to decide to pull back the red card.
You're right about all that, including the word suspension, right? We're not taking the red card away. We're just suspending it for a while.
Well, I love we grant you the right to appeal. Like, imagine if that, like, happened in the American justice system. Be like, hey, I know you just got in trouble, but guess what? You've got the right to appeal now. You didn't before, but now you do.
Well, by the way, Belgium again has accepted this right to appeal, and they are appealing. I am curious, when Paul comes on here, one of the questions that I'm going to ask him, and I'm almost hoping for this scenario at this point, Kelly, one of the things I'm going to ask him is, if Belgium is denied this appeal, let's say we continue our day, Belgium is denied the appeal, Balogun is a go, will U.S. men's national team coach Mauricio Pochettino, will he then say to himself, you know what? I'm not going to start Balogun. I'm going to leave him on the bench and maybe put him in at some later point in the match just to sort of quell this whole scenario where if the USA is fortunate enough to advance tonight, we have to deal with this as an asterisk/controversial kind of thing. So we'll ask Paul about that, because smarter soccer minds will be able to chime in on that better than you and I can. As far as yesterday, man, we have to give you – Kelly had a great weekend. We're going to get to golf here after the break. But let's just start with your boy, Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
Norway gets it done. By the way, I'm going to say this again, guys. If Norway plays the United States in the final, that would be the matchup if Norway and USA advance all the way there. I'm not sure where Kelly's allegiance will be. But Erling Haaland scores not one but two late goals. Norway on their way into the quarterfinals. They took down Brazil yesterday 2-1. Brazil got a penalty kick late from Neymar to make it 2-1 final. But your boy does it again, and now he's got 7 goals for the tournament, as does Messi, as does Mbappe.
Yep, leading the way. Yeah, I'll tell you, Gil, I really felt like my coaching from the couch carried over too, because I don't know about you, it was a 10 total touches in the first half, the fewest of any player on the field, on the pitch, if you will. And I was like, you got to feed the big man, as you and I do with our great soccer terms, right? It's feed the big man down low. We got to get him some touches in the paint. And finally, they started doing that. And look what happens when you just kind of chip some stuff in and get some stuff into Erling Haaland. He makes magical goals happen because he's the Josh Allen of soccer. He's too big, too fast, too strong, too talented. Can't be stopped. Did it with his head. Did it with his leg. From what? Outside the box? It was masterful, man. And Brazil, I don't, you know, Brazil played with their food early, right? It was allowed Norway to kind of have possession and just hang with that. And we're looking for kind of counterattacking situations. And look, they had a couple great opportunities, but it kind of felt like once you saw that first Haaland goal, you started thinking, man, Brazil, this is not where this game should be right now.
I counted at least 4 opportunities for Brazil where they should have scored. The PK, they missed, right? They missed a penalty kick. Then they had the sort of one-on-one with the goalkeeper where all dude had to do was go to his right a couple steps. Instead, he insisted on using his left leg. That didn't work out. Then there was the strange bounce that would have been a lucky goal, but was saved. And then there was another opportunity late where they missed it so closely. And anyway, that's how the cookie crumbles. And Haaland gets it done. You're right. Magical with the header. Then you just gave him too much space. I mean, you give him a step. That's all he needs to put it in the back of the net on the second one. So Norway is advanced. They will play England on Saturday in the quarterfinals. England goes into Azteca. They have the elevation, to deal with. That was a big storyline before the game. They go in there. They get two back-to-back goals really quickly late in the first half from Jude Bellingham to go up 2-0. Quiñones cuts it to 2-1 before halftime. Then a red card on England. So they're playing a man down for over a half hour the rest of the way. They score first, though, when the goalkeeper is issued a penalty, and Kane puts in the penalty kick to make it 3-1. Comes back, Mexico does with a penalty kick of their own. When Kane is given a penalty inside the penalty box, Kane becomes the first player ever in World Cup history to make a penalty kick, then get nailed for a penalty that induces a penalty kick on the other side. 3-2. Cool. And then it just became a game of, can England hold this? Again, also the elevation. Is this going to be a problem as the game goes on? They were able to do so, including 11 minutes of added time. And England deserves all the credit in the world getting by the homestanding Mexico squad, which never loses, right? Not never, but rarely loses at Azteca.
Yeah, it was a great, great match, man, watching that. And yeah, England with a man down, and just these penalties are so huge. I know we talked about it last week, but it just,
yes,
the ability to go up 3-1 when you're down to 10 guys, right? Like that was the difference in the end. And it's not that that was a controversial penalty. I thought that one was pretty easy, but
no, yeah, that one was easy.
Get to 3-1 and you're able to hold on in advance. England, Norway, let's go on the three-way line. Norway 3-1, England minus 115, the draw plus 270 on that game on Saturday.
Wow. What a tournament, man. What a boon this has been for us midsummer, also just from a content perspective. And just watching it with the soccer hardos and us like, oh, that's a penalty? Oh, is that a penalty? How's that not a penalty? Right, that kind of thing, the discourse back and forth. We'll come back. What a golf weekend for Kelly and Chris Goddard. We'll get to that next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The fireworks have faded for some of us. They never started, but we're still celebrating here at VSiN through July 7th. For just $299, you get two full years of VSiN Pro access. That's nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You'll get our NFL season betting guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, season preview, and VSiN Pro feature we release over the next 2 years. But don't wait. This special 4th of July offer disappears after July 7th. That is tomorrow. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now to lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander in San Francisco. Kelly Bidlin back in Las Vegas. Danny Higgins unable to join us today, Kelly. We're flying solo.
That's right. Me. Yeah, back to that old producing days. Had to scramble, you know. Larry and Darnell and Chris letting me know what I screwed up before the show and, you know, quick adjustments. We got there, though. Yeah. 15 minutes, solid 15 minutes so far.
So wait, what's this? You have until today, you completely do not produce anymore? Is that the story?
No. Official? It's just more Danny handles a lot of the stuff right before the show. So I gotta, gotcha. I gotta get back in that mode, you know?
All right. We get tweets, Kelly, at Beating the Book. The Better Life, Tim Lawson. In my opinion, the worst failure in this situation is that FIFA lacks a mechanism to appeal red cards in the World Cup formally. Should have been able to properly address this in the first place rather than digging deep for a workaround.
Yeah.
Perfectly stated. Perfectly stated from Tim Lawson, who knows his soccer. Shrek McPhee. Balogun must have had Sorsby's lawyer call FIFA about the red card. Talking about Brendan Sorsby, formerly of Texas Tech University. Minky Monkey Man, I'm glad somebody said this. Minky Monkey Man says, hey, Gil, I couldn't help but giggle every time the broadcasters used altitude instead of elevation. Must have been a dozen times. Me too, man. Every time I'm like, elevation. Every time they say, I go, elevation in my head. And sometimes out loud, Kelly. You should know. Sometimes out loud to myself. Darren Frazier, happy Monday, Gilly and Kelly. Wanted to thank you for the tennis play on Friday. Paired it with a heavy favorite for a nice payday. And if you want to see fireworks, you just have to escape the city to drive about 30 miles east of the Central Valley. Oh, I know that, Darren. I know that's the case. You just have to leave the city. We're not leaving the city. We're very snobbish here in the city. We're just going to stay here and endure. By the way, do we have that tweet from Carl the Fog by any chance, Kelly?
No, anywhere? You know what? I don't think I do, Gil. That's my bad.
I do not think I got
that one in.
That's a tough one.
Don't worry. I got Carl, the next one coming up.
Okay. Carl the Fog, by the way, tweeting about this and sort of saying, you know your 4th of July plan, San Francisco, for $250? Watch this. This is from Colin Murphy. I think we have to look at over cards in the U.S. Belgium World Cup match. With this decision, you have to believe this match is going to be chippy. I could see Belgium initiating a lot of extracurriculars and the U.S. retaliating. Jason McKinney, did the fireworks world record count from D.C. include Trump's call to FIFA? I hope Fezzik was able to watch the D.C. fireworks show. It was outstanding. I think Fezzik was in Tahoe, I want to say, for the fireworks. I don't know if he was back from Tahoe, but I think he had himself a lovely time, because you know how seriously he takes fireworks, Kelly.
Well, that's a great place to do it, right? Get out on the lake. You can fire off as many as you want. That's a perfect spot for fireworks. If Fezzik's got it figured out, he's got it figured out.
Real quick, because I don't want to forget this later on the show. Have you seen the latest Brandon Ayuk drama?
Yeah.
This is rant. So for those who thought it was like fait accompli that Brandon Ayuk was going to be a Washington Commodore, this has Antonio Brown vibes. Mm. I think Will said that on the group chat. He's right. This is starting to be really weird. Brandon Ayuk on Instagram just continuing to nuke his job prospects at this point, as Jeremy Fowler said over at ESPN. He is talking schmack to Jaden Daniels now, Kelly. I do not understand what his angle is here at all, but they unfollowed each other as well. Like, this was the one landing spot, the Washington Commanders, where you thought, oh, okay, well, like, a team actually wants him.
Yeah.
And now he's obviously trying to force the Niners' hand to cut him, but this seems really stupid to like go after the best player on the one team that seemed to want you anyway. Just crazy.
Bold strategy, Cotton. It's interesting to go after the quarterback for sure.
Let me quote. I'll leave it at this. I'll just quote Brandon Ayuk, Kelly. Quote, "You're going to have to stop running behind your mama and I might believe what you're talking about." Unquote.
Okay. I'm going to use the Jonathan.
That's the Jaden Daniels. Yeah.
I'm going to use the Jonathan Von Tobel line about Jonathan Kuminga. Brandon Ayuk is quickly becoming the most covered, like, average player out there. Like, I totally agree. And I don't even mean to say average. The difference between a Jonathan Kuminga and Brandon Ayuk is I think Brandon Ayuk's good, but for how much we talk about him, we haven't seen him on the football field in like 2 years, basically. Like, this is, we talk about this guy all the time, and I'm like, I don't know what he's going to be when he shows up and plays in it.
Totally agree. And at this point, if you're a Commanders fan, as I am, you have any inkling of you wanting him on the team has quickly gone to, yeah, we're good. You're good, buddy. Mm-hmm. We don't need you. Just a really weird sort of trajectory on Brandon Ayuk, who we still don't know if he's playing. And if he is, where next year in the National Football League? As you said, who knows what he even is at this point? To golf, Kelly, you had yourself good. I don't want to say what you actually texted in an Erling Haaland / Chris Goddard up text, but let's just say you were very pleased.
It was like 30 minutes and it was like, okay, these golf wins are tough, Gil. Because we do a golf betting podcast. We have Wes Reynolds coming up later on the show. And unfortunately,
what's that called? What's that called?
Long Shots. Long called? Shots, name of the podcast. Go check it out weekly. Yep. Yeah. So, we've had a couple of these tournaments before, and it's always uncomfortable. It's the final day leaderboard where everybody has someone in the running. And this is now the second time where I've had one guy down the stretch late, and Matt and Wes have been on another guy at much longer odds, and they were both on Ben Coles in this tournament. And it was Goddard up, was five shots off the lead heading into Sunday. We talked about this event being a birdie fest. So, yeah, scoring was out there, but it's not like I really thought Goddard was going to be able to catch these guys and pass them. He goes out there, shoots 9 under 62. He's able to get in the clubhouse at 20 under. Ben Coles, who had been leading the tournament for a while, he goes and bogeys 15 to bring him back to 19 under on 16 on the par three, steps up and bounces back, gets a birdie to tie this thing back at 20 under. Par five, he has to go and par that at 17. So we go all square for him leading into hole 18. And I think Erling Haaland scores. Ben Coles tees off, hits it down the fairway, and then that approach shot just clank off the side of the green into the water. His tournament's over. He can't save par. And Goddard, who'd been hanging around on the practice green or practice range, getting ready, thinking he's going to have to play a playoff, doesn't have to do that anymore. Just wins it in regulation. So nice for me. Bittersweet for the podcast in general, because you know there's not many texts going around. Obviously, as that's closing out. But Chris Goddard, man, this is three wins now on the season, four in the past year. This dude is incredible, and a major win I think is coming soon. And it's sometimes it's the basic skill, like, and this guy really is. I talked about him last Wednesday heading into this tournament. You were looking at strokes gain stats for the last 16 rounds. He was second in the field off the tee, second on approach, second with putting. And it's just sometimes when you see a player like that and he's got the distance that he has off the tee, he makes it look simple sometimes, and he did on Sunday. That was for sure, because every drive was long, every approach was good, and then he's drilling all these long putts. Chris Goddard, he's really rounding into one of the better players on tour.
Well, Rick Gaiman put it in context, for us on Twitter. Our buddy Rick Gaiman at Rick Run Good. Most wins in the last 365 days on the PGA Tour: Scottie Scheffler 4, Chris Goddard 4. That's the list.
Yep.
Those two guys, Fitzpatrick and Cam Young with 3, Rose and Clark with 2, and then 30 dudes with 1. But that's it. Scheffler and Goddard. And then Kyle Porter putting it in even greater context for everybody on Twitter. Chris Goddard has the same number of wins in the last 12 months. That's 4, by the way. Then all of these players combined. The same number of wins, 4, than all of these players combined. You ready? Deep breath. Rory, Ludwig, Rahm, Sam Burns, Cantlay, Siwoo, McNealy, Harris English, JT, Lowry, Ricky Fowler, Spieth, Keegan, Brian Harman, Corey Connors, Jason Day, both Højgaards. He said all the Højgaards. Sepp, DJ, Brooks, Sungjae, Cam Smith, Tom Kim, Sergio, and Tony Finau. All those guys combined equal Chris Goddard.
Yeah,
that's,
man,
how magical it's been.
Yeah, it's always, I think it's one of the toughest and most interesting things about handicapping golf, Gil, is you've heard me mention it. We use the term on this podcast all the time: win equity, right? There's guys that can go out there and finish top 10, top 20 on a regular basis, like a Siwoo Kim or a Patrick Cantlay. How often do you go out there and win? Chris Goddard has proven he's a winner.
What do you guys like better on long shots? Win equity or ball striking?
Ball striking, think? For sure. Ball striking.
Yeah, I think so. Ball striking.
That's
for the win.
That's almost every episode, probably.
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Peterson is next, not only with his Fab Five baseball picks, but his dating life has taken a turn to the good next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Gil Alexander live from San Francisco, Kelly Bidlin live from Las Vegas on this Monday morning. Normally, I would read a bunch of tweets here, but there is just too much ground to cover with our next guest, not only in terms of his Fab Five baseball plays, but because his well-documented dating life has taken a turn for the good. Greg himself tweeted this out. I believe this was on Saturday. Don't hold me to that. He'll tell us. He says, for those who have been enjoying my bad dating stories, bad news. Had dinner at the Wynn tonight on what was probably the best date of my life. My luck has finally turned around, and look at that piece of chicken parm on the left and whatever else that is over there. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Peterson joins us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, do tell. How was it?
Wow. That's all I need to say. It was a very, very amazing weekend. It was great. It was, I don't know how this happened. If I tried to file this into Hollywood as a movie script, they would turn it down. It was that amazing. It was that unreal. And I'm glad to be joining you. Thank you.
All right.
Wow. Wow. So wait, before the break, before the segment, though, you said this was less a date than it was a weekend rendezvous. What do you mean by that?
Pretty much. We just saw each other for all 3 days, and I'm now working on distance now. Something I never thought I was ever going to do. I always thought, oh, person has to be in the area and everything like that. And I thought, because this, we met on Hinge. That's the way that we met. This is a person that I didn't know at the time when I swiped was outside the area and visiting for the weekend. So it was like, Okay, she asked me if I was going to be willing to do a distance thing, if I was willing to meet her this weekend. And I was like, sure. And like for the longest time, I was thinking, am I going to get robbed here? Is this AI? Am I like being set up or something like this? We're going to go with it. I like the profile. I like everything that I'm seeing. Let's just give this a shot. I have been let down too many times. What's one more letdown? Anything but a letdown. Very, very real. Very, very amazing weekend. I could not be happier.
Because most people who just heard that, Greg, as you probably surmise, heard in town for the weekend, their brain goes somewhere, right? And what you are saying is their brain shouldn't go there?
Exactly. Very much exactly.
Wait, it should. Okay. It should, though. This girl, you're telling me this girl had a conversation with you before you ever took her out for anything and was asking you about dating you going forward beyond this weekend?
Yep. She said, let's see what happens this weekend and let's see what happens moving forward. And what we are moving forward.
Wow. Okay.
Would you care to share what her profession is, Greg?
I will leave all of that out of it for right now, but she does very, very, very well for herself.
Okay. And it's not the, by the way, when I say profession immediately, I'm thinking, people are going to think what I, no, not that. It's like a legitimate profession and a really a noble one. Greg, I wish you the best. I hope that it only continues to be awesome. Let's leave it at that. Greg Peterson, ladies and gentlemen, things could be looking up or, we'll see. We'll see how that
they're
goes.
Definitely looking up. They're definitely looking up.
They're looking up. I'll leave it at that.
I know that much. I'm starving. Look at that chicken parm. By the way,
can we show that one more time? That's a chicken parm. What is that on top there, Greg?
Sea bass.
Oh, man. Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, this man goes to the win, has himself a great meal. Hey, man, you run 12 miles a day. You can afford to do that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Greg, Major League Baseball. It is the final week before the All-Star break. Home Run Derby next week. It's a fun time of year. Trade deadline coming up. The draft and then the trade deadline. Let's start with your Fab Five and let us begin with what is the series of the week. We have a 4-game set between the Yankees and the Rays. The Yankees find themselves 4 games out. This is one of these series. I was on with John Yastrzemski and Will yesterday on VSiN on the weekend. And, John's point was a good one, which is, boy, the Yankees have to at least tread water here, right? They can't crater. You can't get swept, that's for sure, because all of a sudden 4 becomes 8 into the break. At the very least, you want to split here. Today it is Cam Schlittler on the hill for the Yankees, and I would imagine you would probably take the same approach as I am here, which is this is the one the Yankees absolutely have to win because of that.
Yep, absolutely, and I mean, for the Yankees, Cam Schlittler, yes, he had a really rough start last time out against the Detroit Tigers. He's an underdog to Griffin Jacks. Like, I wish you could put it more simply. I wish I had more complexity with his handicap, but I'm getting plus money on Cam Schlittler against Griffin Jacks. That's the Godfather offer that you cannot refuse in this situation. You look at what Cam Schlittler has done away from him, too. He's got a 1.03 ERA. In games played away from home. So he has been tremendous away from Yankee Stadium. And to the credit of Griffin Jacks, he had an 8 ERA coming out of the bullpen with 3 home runs allowed per 9 innings. That's gone down to 2.65 as a starter, but he's still giving up over 1.4 home runs per 9 innings as a starter. The Tampa Bay Rays have by far the higher bullpen ERA. Now they've also got Junior Caminero. I'm not even kidding when I say he's had 11 home runs in 12 games. The guy is hotter than lava. It's absolutely insane. But for the Yankees, being able to get plus money on Cam Schlittler, this team really, really needing wins after they have fallen and can't get back up the last few weeks. I think that this is the time where they finally get back up. Give me Cam Schlittler and the Yankees on the money line.
Glad you went hotter than lava. Thought that was going somewhere else. Big four-game set again between the Yankees and the Rays. Heading into the All-Star break, Rays start the series with a four-game lead over the Bronx Bombers. Then there's the Braves. The Braves' lead in the NL East is, how can I put this, precarious. Three-game lead over the Phillies. 4.5 over the Marlins, Greg. Braves, though, have an easy schedule here in the month of July. They need to take advantage. They got the Mets tonight. What do you have here?
And that's always good news. When you see the Mets on your schedule, you need to be winning these games right now because they just have not been good this season. And Freddie Peralta, holy crud. He has given up 25 runs in his last five starts. You want to talk about a signing that is just completely blowing up in their face. Man, this is not good. And for Ronaldo Lopez, he started out the season as a starter, goes into the bullpen. Now he's back as a starter. He's got a fielding and a pen that's about a point higher than his ERA. So I do like that 8.5 to the over, but I'm willing to back the Atlanta Braves here because they still have the number one bullpen in the big leagues in terms of ERA. So if Ronaldo Lopez, who's been in the bullpen for quite a bit, doesn't give you a ton of length, you're fine there. And for the Mets, they have an offense that has just been terrible away from home. They're averaging about 3.7 runs per game away from home, dead last in the National League. Guys on named Juan Soto have been awful for the team. And I know that for the Braves, Drake Baldwin has outbid himself since coming off the injury list. They've had some issues with that offense, but I trust in them to be able to get the job done against a guy in Freddie Peralta that has just been terrible over the last month or so. Give me the Braves on the money line.
Am I seeing a late ad here? Do we have a Brewers-Cardinals play tonight as well?
Absolutely. With the Brewers versus the Cardinals, this is going to be a spot where I'm going to be looking at what we've got here with that total of 8 to the over with Shane Drone. He's been rock solid. He's been able to give you a sub 350 ERA, sub 350 fielding independent. Dustin May is coming off of giving up, though, 11 runs in 2 2/3 innings in his last two starts. That's even worse than Freddie Peralta's been in his last two starts. So that's not a place where you want to be. And for this Brewers team, they just hit you death by a million cuts. They're averaging 5.2 runs per game. That's a top four mark in all baseball, even though they're one of the lesser teams in all baseball in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. For this Cardinals bullpen, they've been below average with regards to ERA as well. This is, by the way, going to be a game before a double dip on Tuesday. So you have to think that these starters are going to need to go a little bit deeper into this game because they're going to want to save as many bullets as humanly possible for 18 innings on Tuesday as well. So that means that you're going to see these starters probably be out there a little bit longer than they normally would. Give me that 8 to the over.
All right, Padres Diamondbacks. Speaking of holy crud, as you put it, Greg, both teams a game below 500, both teams 14 behind the Dodgers, and it should actually be worse, right? Their run differentials are terrible. You're playing this two ways tonight.
Yep, I'm going to be taking a look at the Padres on the money line and the under. Walker Buehler has been better than his ERA. He gives up the 9 spot in his last start against the Chicago Cubs. Absolutely awful. He had given up 1 earned run in each out of his previous 4 starts. So I think that there's going to be a little bit of bounce back here. Fielding independent, about 0.75 points better than his ERA. I just still don't trust him. Brandon Fott on the flip side for the Diamondbacks. Yes, first start in quite some time. He looked relatively solid, but guys getting only 6.9 strikeouts per 9 innings, 1.7 home runs, 3.7 walks allowed per 9 innings, about a 5.50 ERA. And for the Padres, they still have one of the better bullpens in all of baseball. It's a little bit warped by that series that they had against the Chicago Cubs where the wind was just blowing out to high noon. But that said, I think that the Padres here at home, they get the job done, like that under, and like the Padres on the money line.
Bonus play, Giants, Blue Jays, what do you got?
Absolutely. With this one, I'm going to be taking a look at the under. It's been a rough go of it for Kevin Gausman and Landon Roop, but both of these guys have pitched much better than what their ERAs would indicate. For Roop, fielding independent well north of a point lower than his ERA. And Kevin Gausman, he's not walking anyone. He's given up less than 2 walks per 9 innings. This is a Giants ballpark that is one of the most pitcher-friendly in all of baseball. For the Giants, they're a bottom 6 team in terms of run creation at home as well. And Blue Jays, they're averaging 3.7 runs per game away from them. That's bottom 5 mark, so in on the under.
There you go. Greg Peterson's Fab Five. We'll put him back up later on the show. A question from the numbers guys. With your jogging streak and your college basketball podcast streak, do you consider yourself a creature of habit? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. How could he not? Thank you, Greg. Congratulations on the dating life. Coming back on a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. Check them out. sharpplays.com. You can scan the QR code for more. Once again, sharpplays.com. Don't put the word the in there. Just sharpplays.com. Right. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it from everybody. Brian Young, Notorious Guns, starting the week off right, listening to the boys. Gil and Kelly on a numbers game. Enjoy the show daily. Keep up the great work, boys. Thank you so much, Brian. It's very nice of you to check in.
Appreciate that.
iHeart SEC podcast, The Life of Sports Bettors. Both tennis plays come in, Australia, Egypt draw, Yankees win, and the minus 700 Argentina goes to extra time, parlay up in smoke, FML. Yeah. That happens with parlays.
That was the Kelly Bidlin Independence Eve five-leg parlay, Gil.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, the only leg that didn't get home was Argentina money line.
Can have a dime for every time that happens. Yeah. Chris Hartman, Gil hitting the over in the Norway game more than makes up for the quarter hit dog loss on the pseudo under. Okay, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about the hot dog contest on Saturday.
You're going to have to explain this, the situation with pseudo to me. I didn't get it. Okay. I like read it afterward. I didn't understand it at all.
Well, we won both of ours. Mm-hmm. We hit the pseudo under because we had 39. And then we hit the combined under two between Chestnut and Pseudo. Chestnut wins going away, Pseudo wins going away, but they both, as we sort of predicted with the weather, went under their over-under. So the issue, first of all, let me give you a shout-out. Because on Friday, you said something I think was the most prescient comment of the whole weekend, which was, we're talking about this for a whole segment. We're breaking down this hot dog eating contest, talking about the temperature, talking about how they did when the temperature was this high back in 2010, at least in Chestnut's case. Here's why we're making the bets. And then you added at the end, you go, and you know what? I'm probably going to forget that this event is even happening tomorrow, and I'll just sleep through it, or I'll just live my life through it. Yeah. And that, Kelly, is exactly what happened.
Yeah, me too. I know, me too. It's the combination. The one thing I left off on Friday, it was what I said on Friday was it's just the only sporting event every year that I feel like on the West Coast becomes tough because it's 4th of July. There's other things going on, right? And like the men start at noon Eastern time. Like that's 9 a.m. out here. So you like better be ready. But the other thing is it's a whole 10 minutes, right? Unless you care about the whole lead up and everything, like it's 10 minutes. So you better be there and you better not be late.
It's a bit because I'm sweating out tennis matches, right? So like your brain is on these things that you're betting much larger, right? And I completely forgot about it. Didn't even remember it on my own until I get a text from my buddy Chris, who had under 38.5 on Mickey Sudo's total. And in the end, she was clocked in at, I don't know if that's the right term, 38.75 hot dog and buns. Now, the issue with that is normally you'd be like, oh, well, you lost by a quarter of a hot dog and bun. I guess that's the proper terminology. But the problem was on the live broadcast, if you watched it, and he did, and he was analyzing it as if he were analyzing the Kennedy assassination with the Zapruder film, like this with this fine tooth of a comb, right? He's like, how can they possibly, because by the end of her time, end of her 10 minutes, she was at like 32, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we get it. You can miscount the broadcasts based on then, or vis-a-vis what they eventually have her at officially, but you can't miscounted by 5.5 buns and hot dogs or whatever it was.
Right.
Right. So people were losing their mind. And I think kind of justifiably, because you'd have to go into, and here's the other smoking gun. And he did use the term smoking gun. The other smoking gun is the competitors who were in second or third, their counts were the exact same officially as they were on the screen watching it live. So I don't know what happened. Somebody who watched it live and has a better explanation than we could come up with needs to explain it to us. But that was the controversy of the Coney Island hot dog eating contest. We got super lucky because we just got it in time at 39 on pseudo. But that is
that's wild.
You know how The rigged crowd loved that one.
Yeah, that's wild. And I said, you're going to have to explain this to me because I read it quick afterward. But you could read what happens. And then my immediate thought was, how do you miscount by 5-6 hot dogs, whatever it was?
You can't.
You can't. You would think that's very tough to do. So I'm interested to see if this affects anything with that, with the broadcast and kind of how it's, they flip the cards over behind them, right, of how the counting goes in the future. Because I mean, we've talked about this with other sports. I mean, people bet on this stuff. I think there's some leeway, right? If you are, a official counts in, we were a half dog off, we're a dog off even, right? Like that, to me, that's okay, I get it. Like, you're trying to do this in real time. To me, to be 5 hot dogs off, like what? Like, that's wild.
Yeah, that's not a thing. More tweets. This is from Las Vegas 514. Yo, Dan Snyder, worst owner. Albert Haynesworth, worst free agent signing. Heath Shuler, worst draft pick. Jim Zorn, worst head coach. Brandon Ayuk, worst and dumbest non-player. That is a brilliant Washington football team tweet right there. A little history and just how that's exactly how I'm like, you're not even on the team yet, dude. And we already hate you. Like, what are you doing, Brandon Ayuk? The numbers guys was the question for Greg. The actual question was, we all know about your dedication to your college basketball podcast and your jogging streak that's gone on since the Carter administration. Do you consider yourself a creature of habit? Obviously, we do from the outside, but it is a good question to see what Greg thought about it from his perspective, and he does think he's a creature of habit. Banshees of Atlantic City, no ball games. Oh, this was a thing with those watching baseball and betting baseball yesterday. No ball games were available on MLB TV yesterday. All games were available exclusively on NBC Peacock. This whole July 4th weekend kind of thing. Mm. In response, Banshees of Atlantic City says, my $30 a month in subscription money is no longer available to MLB. That money will now be available exclusively to my Gumar or possibly my side piece. Matthew Mayberry, I had Ben Cole, Zach Johnson, and...
brutal.
Okay, this is a bit of a grammar issue here. And Jackson, what is he saying?
Super probably.
At bomb odds. Luckily, I had Zach Johnson top 10 at 10 to 1 to make a decent profit, but that was hard to swallow, especially when all three of them were tied for second at one point.
Yeah, this was, I mean, I think Gil, it's going to be a bumpy long shots this week. Like Matt had Max Homa, Ben Coles, Jackson Suber, all three of them finished T6 or better. And Wes had a couple of those guys and Rio Husad today, who was one shot back of them too. It was, they had the whole thing circled. I had one guy and the one guy just got there.
Colin Murphy, follow-up question. What was the young lady in town for? Talk about Greg Peterson now. If a convention or work-related trip, okay. If a bachelorette party, then maybe a bit questionable. Do women visit Vegas looking for a relationship? Either way, happy for you, Greg. That kind of sums up my emotions during it, too. And B-Shrep27, Gil, a masterclass at asking the question all listeners wanted to ask. Greg, what's her profession? Love me some Hoops Peterson, but this screams catfishing. He might want to check his bank account today.
I thought that... The last question in the last tweet was the one I had too, because it is not uncommon for young ladies to come out to Vegas for one of those bachelorette type weekends and be looking for a gentleman to take them out and wine and dine them for the weekend and take care of some of the expenses, right? But the whole idea of having a conversation about, are we going to do a long distance relationship after this, before you've even met, that was kind of mind blowing to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is July, and that means we are involved in another baseball monthly market, most wins in the month of July. And let's just say the Red Sox are doing what we hoped the Cubs would have done last month. Remember, the Cubs' first 15 games, the whole handicap was they got to exploit those first 15 games, super easy schedule against the Giants and the Athletics. I can't remember who the other team was. The Rockies, they didn't. They went 7-8. They ultimately finished the month 16-10, which is good, but not good enough to catch the red hot Marlins, who were 20-6 and won the month. Nobody had the Marlins. The Red Sox are exploiting at least the first four games. They are exploiting the easy schedule. They are 3-1, Kelly, out of the box. My 80-1 play on the Boston Red Sox. The Rockies currently have the lead in the very early going here of July at 4-1. Then you see the Twins, Mariners, O's, Tigers and our Red Sox all at 3-1 to start the month. Of course, there is an All-Star break that begins right at the end of this week. So there are fewer games played in this month than any other. But the rest of the week, Red Sox have six more games here. So the idea is for them to exploit this big time, come in strong here against both the White Sox and the Mets the rest of the week, go into the break in great position, and then it'll be a sprint to get us our 80-1 in July. So far, so good. Long way to go, obviously.
Yeah, current odds on the Red Sox, 12-1. Your favorites to have the most wins in July, Braves plus 425.
Yeah, they got an easy schedule, so do the Brewers. Paul Carr, World Cup, next. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.